Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and I want to go over this week some feedback I got for my wireless deployment efficiencies post. And what I wanted to do was just basically, you know, tell your comments on the air and give my response. So let's get into it. The first thing, comment from somebody says, "You are so right. I've been a PM for over 10 years. You wouldn't believe how many times I've said these same things. Great post." And my response is, "Thank you. I know that becoming efficient is something you need to work at to cut costs and raise profit." I mean, that's the idea here, fellas. When you do something the first time, there's a learning curve. But you guys have been doing this for years and years and years. So by now, I would expect you have a good idea of how to do everything. So with that said, the whole idea is, as you do things, document a better way to do it. Most guys are doing this anyway to get done faster, quicker, but you still have to remember you have to be safe and you have to do proper rigging techniques. I just heard a story about some guys that they got done a day early, but they didn't rig properly, and the owner was, you know, worried. He'd rather have them take the extra day and do it right rather than take the shortcuts in case something bad does happen. So just something to think about. And you know, that's the whole thing. You also want to keep morale up. In other words, you don't want to work 20-hour days thinking it's done in a day. The reality is you can reach exhaustion. People get irritable. People get angry, you know, when they work too long a days. You got to keep morale up. Something else to think about. So you want to be as efficient as you can, but you also have to take a lot of other factors into the case. 100% tie off. You think you're saving those few seconds by not tying off? Those few seconds of tying off may save you from those few seconds of falling. Just think about that. And you know what? When I look around this year, or in last year, 2014, I look at some of the falls. You know, a lot of guys were older and seasoned climbers, and they just weren't tied off. You know, brings me to a story when OSHA came out to investigate a fall, and they're looking over what happened and the pictures. And the one thing they noticed is one kid that fell was his safety lanyard, his Y lanyard. You know, he had each one buckled on his belt. And, you know, the OSHA guy said, you know, not to be cold, but he said he didn't do that on the way down. So what happened was he probably just tied off, and that was it. And again, the thing to look at in the OSHA report is OSHA's got to figure out, was the kid just irresponsible, or was it poor training? Was it the culture of the company? They got to go through all of that. Then the other thing they got to look at, you know, was the kid in a hurry? They look at the circumstances. And then you know what happens? If there's a lawsuit, it falls on the kid. This was a kid. I say he's in his 20s. This was years ago. But, you know, everything falls on him. So who's at fault? He didn't use a safety lanyard. First thing the lawyer is going to say when they lawyer up is he didn't use a safety lanyard. And I think that's what happened. I think his family sued. And I think they got the life insurance and maybe something else. But in the end, they blamed the fault on the climber. Anyways, I got to move on. Hey, on a lighter note, if you make it out to IWCE conference on March 17th, I'll be out there for the Tower Safety and Regulatory Compliance Board. It's a long talk. There's going to be four of us talking, and it goes like from 1:30 to 4. But you know what? If you can hang in there, I think I'm the third speaker, and I'm going to talk about the tower climber's job and the safety, just sort of educate people. If you want to come out, hey, I'll get the audience involved. And if you have a harness or a helmet I can borrow, I'd just like to show people what you guys wear to work every day. You know what I mean? So anyway, I have another response here I got from LinkedIn. If you can make it to IWCE, that'd be great. I'd love to see you guys, meet you guys, shake your hands. So on to my LinkedIn response. I thought this was a good one. So it says, "Wade, I don't know if you're fully aware of what happened in this case. Ray was called to erect a self-supporting tower in Nebraska after the general contractor's erector announced they didn't have the men that could meet the tower with a crane. But they didn't inform the general until they had completely assembled the tower, a 300-foot self-supporting tower, and the crane had arrived. Ray took the deal without a schedule extension. but only because the crane was there and waiting. The first day he and his crew arrived, they corrected the previous crew's assembly mistakes that stacked the 240-foot steel before dark. So you hear that? Sometimes you got to go out and you got to correct mistakes. That's what these guys did. The next morning when they arrived, the crane company was tearing down the crane for removal. They had a guaranteed commitment on another job. The general contractor offered Ray $3,000 in addition to the additional contract to finish a job with a hoist and pole. It's amazing how that money appears when they really need to meet the deadline. Which they would, I'm sorry, I totally broke off there. But, you know, I always think it's funny. That's very common in this business. Oh, well, they throw money at it. Somehow they don't have the money to pay you up front, but they have the money to pay in the back end. Let me start over with this paragraph. The general contractor offered Ray $3,000 in addition to their original contract to finish a job with a hoist and pole, which they would furnish. However, Ray would have to go pick the equipment up, and also the general contractor would not slip the scheduled completion date. Ray took another man with him and drove all day and night to San Antonio and then back over to Houston, Houston to San Antonio, San Antonio to Houston, on the job site. Oh, then over to Houston. Oh, then back on the job site near Omaha in 54 hours. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? That's crazy. I'm sorry. I'm going to go on. Upon the arrival at the job site in early afternoon, the crew rigged the tower with a gin pole in the Chicago boom fashion and disassembled the sections because they would have to assemble them in the air. The first pick was a single leg with the step bolts. As they were setting the leg, they called the operator to raise the load a few inches, but the step bolt was fouled up in the pole. Ray climbed up the pole and pushed the leg out and called for the operator to come up a few inches, but instead of pulling back on the load drum lever, the operator pulled back on the jump line lever. The jump line broke, causing the pole to fall 240 foot down inside the tower with Ray attached to it. Can you imagine? It's a miracle he survived. But the reason I call this to your attention is to give you an example how the owners and general contractors, the brains of the operation, bully the workers and chisel them into unfair and dangerous situations and then gloat about how good they handle problems. It's from a friend of mine, Richard. So he was just making a point there that, you know, this is what happens when let's say a project manager puts a schedule ahead of anything else because they just want to get done. The workers trying to make the schedule do everything they can. They bend over backwards to make it happen. And then when things go bad, project manager says, well, they should have said no after, you know, he bullies them. It's just something. The reason we bring that up at efficiencies, because it's to point out that sometimes trying to be efficient, sometimes trying to meet the deadline, you create problems. Now, that's what I'm saying is you got to find new ways to be efficient, but you can't forget safety. You can't forget morale. You can't forget the people doing the job. You know, it's one thing when you're not out in the job or you're not familiar with tower work and someone's trying to explain to you how dangerous it is. And some guys just don't care. That's the reality of the business. I don't have to tell any of you that. I think anyone listening to this has probably been through that at some point or another. But let's face it. When you rush, when you're trying to do things the way they should not be done, and when you drive 54 hours, you reach a point of exhaustion, you make mistakes, and you're just tired. I mean, that's what I'm saying about it. It hurts morale. And I got to tell you, when you're tired, I know these guys think, oh, all I got to do is drink a lot of coffee and I'll be fine. But the reality is you make mistakes. You're exhausted. You just can't do it, especially on a job like that where your life is on the line. Listen, there's guys that are project managers, foremen, they run businesses, and I've done it. You know, I've done bids till, you know, whatever time in the morning. You work all night and you work in the morning to get a price out. You make a mistake on that, it's you know, maybe a few $1,000s. You make a mistake at a tower site, it's a life. This guy was lucky to be alive. He lucked out. Thank God, you know, it was a miracle. But there's a difference between losing a few grand and dying. in Clint Eastwood said, I think it was it Pale Rider or was it no, it was another movie. I can't think of what it is off the top of my head. But, you know, he said, when a man dies, you take away all he ever had and all he ever will have. I mean, it's something to think about because these guys need to understand that there's no coming back from that. You can come back from a financial mistake. You can come back from missing a deadline. You may get a bad reputation. People may hold it against you, but the reality is you can come back from it. You can recover. When someone dies, you don't recover. And in some of these mistakes, when there's not necessarily a near miss, but a severe injury, some people don't recover. You lose people in the industry, and not just the person that has the accident. You lose a lot of people that were affected that can't deal with it, that were on the same crew or worked with them, or they wake up and smell the coffee and they realize this industry isn't quite what they thought it was. So, all right, I'm done bringing you guys down. So if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, leave me a review. Hey guys, I appreciate you sticking with me. I know these podcasts get a little long. I know you like them short. I did notice that. I know I'm pulling out these 15-20 minute podcasts, and I know I get serious. You guys probably get tired of hearing it, but you know what? Yeah, just make the most of it out there. You know, be smart, be safe, pay attention, just make a plan. I know you get tired of hearing me preach all the time, but you know, one thing I do remember too, and I'll bring this up in another podcast, you know, you got to have fun while you're on the job. That's one thing I did do. And I know these comments and these stories are sort of not always so happy, but you know, there's a way to enjoy your job. I guess I should write a post about that, but because we had a lot of fun too. You know, there's a camaraderie, you have good guys. Oh, you have drama, you know, you have your babies and then you have your angry guys, and maybe that's what I should do, lighten it up a little bit. So, you know, make the most of it, guys. I mean, I'm always preaching be safe. You can be safe and have a good time. I'm not saying you got to screw off all the time, but, you know, why not enjoy life a little bit? So, anyways, I got my products out there, plenty of books for you to read. If you guys have something you want me to create, or a document or a logbook or something, I making a list. It's just, I haven't had a lot of time lately, but anyways, guys, be smart, be safe, pay attention to what you're doing, make a plan, follow the plan, but don't be afraid to adapt, improvise, and overcome. See ya.